photography for a fellow named Stranger Malone. You'll see in the other room there, he's a musician. I knew he'd had a longer career, but you know, Guinness Book of Records posthumously awarded him having the longest career, recording career, of any musician. And that's pretty phenomenal. You think someone started recording in the 1920s with Columbia Records when they first were getting up and going, and he recorded it into his 90s, making music in this area and down in Georgia when he retired. So there's a lot of kind of information like that that's interesting and kind of helps flesh it out a little bit. Ultimately, however, what I'm trying to do is create interesting and compelling photographs beyond what the subject matter is. You know, that helps hang all of this as one idea, but this is really kind of an exploration of portraiture. You know, how do you do a portrait of someone that speaks of that person? Now, your options are to do something in the studio, which I do a lot of business portraits, do family portraits, things like that, but that's pretty much an artificial environment. You know, you're bringing someone into your space and asking them to be comfortable and to give you a smile. Well, you know, you can get a representation of them, like Ola Mills or Sears or any of these kind of places can do, but if you really want to try to get to the essence of that person, then you're going to have to make them feel comfortable. And I think the best way to do that is work in their environment. Okay. So most of these are what I consider environmental portraits. They're portraits that are people in their workspaces, people in their living spaces, and in some cases performance spaces, but then again, that's where they're comfortable if they're performers. So in doing this with the environmental portraits, in essence, what you're trying to do is show them and other elements of the environment so that it gives you a sense of who that person is. So as we walk around and look at images, bear that in mind. Now the really difficult part of this is that you're asking someone, in most cases a stranger, to let you into their home, to their private space, and bring all of this lighting and cameras, and you know, all of these are involved with pretty complicated lighting in some cases. I try to make it look like they're natural light, that they're not lit. But you know, there's umbrellas and light stands and tripods and you know, cameras set up and all that. So what you got to do is work around all of that and still make the person comfortable enough to you know, create a portrait. Now, I'm not trying to create a publicity portrait. I'm not trying to create really even a flattering portrait that they might be happy with. That's a whole different thing. I hope they are, but ultimately, it's for me. You know, I'm creating this because something that I'm trying to do, something I'm trying to relate, and I'm going to be the person that has to be happy with it in order to make it successful for me. But I have a lot of people that tell me, oh, that looks just like him or her or whatever, that is so much like them, I just remember them sitting like that or that expression, whatever. And that's really a compliment. You know, when they're family members, we can't be objective about ourselves, especially in photographs. You know, we have a real hard time looking at ourselves in the photograph. We're rarely ever happy except unless it's something that's 5 years old. And that's what I always tell people, you may not like it now, 5 years, you're going to love it, you know. And another 5 years, you're going to love the one I do today. So, you know, it's kind of that kind of thing. So really, I'm really trying to get something that is more something that their friends and family will look at and say, yeah, that's really captures their personality. Part of that is making them feel comfortable. Again, like I say, one of the elements is leaving them in an environment in which they are comfortable, which is an environment that in many cases they created over a lifetime. For instance, the lady here, she is in her living room. And these are, I didn't really put anything in there except, you know, we had to create a space for her to kind of sit because she's got this house full of items. And most of them are things that she or her mother or sisters have made. They're weaving, they do sock monkeys and colonial knotting and all sorts of types of things like that. And this loom belonged to her mother, and she kept it when her mother passed away and kept the last spool of thread she worked on and all this sort of thing. So these are all things that are memories for her, things that are important to her, and also things that she and her family have created. So in this case, you know, you're sitting in her living room, and she's apologizing for all the clutter and this and the other, worried about all this stuff to me, but it's just a rich environment. It's something that speaks so much of what she is and her heritage and what she values and you know, what she's created. And so that's kind of the idea, is to you know, have people in an environment that's important and that's meaningful to them. In some cases, I've got a shot of Sheila Adams look at that in a minute. And that was just basically she's out in the field, but it's her home place. It's where her, actually at the cemetery where her parents are buried. You know, so all of that has resonance and meaning to that person, whether it's visible to you or not. It does create a feeling in that person that is expressed in their face. You know, the human face and the subtlety of expression is never-ending amazement to me. I mean, you know, you look at just clips of photographs or, you know, sequences of things, and I'll find maybe 20 or 30 shots that I did, and only one of them will just pop. One of them just stands out as very different. And it's just such a subtlety that sometimes you can't identify really what it is, what makes that one work, what makes that one feel right for that person when there's 20 almost just like it with slightly different facial expressions. So it's always a mystery and kind of amazing to me, you know, just the, how much communication we have with our face and hands and things like that. So a lot of the elements, you know, kind of hands and harmony idea came from the idea that these people are all creating with their hands through their minds, but either music or crafts. And so trying to include that element of them working on something also enables them to relax, because when you give somebody something to do with their hands, they relax. The most difficult thing to do in posing a person is what do you do with their hands. And if you're ever trying to take pictures of people, everybody's either going like this, or like this, or like this, and, you know, and it all has a different connotation. You know? So when I go to visit a person, the last thing I do typically is get the camera out and make a photograph. By that point, I've already figured out where the background is, where I want the person in the background, what I want them to be doing, and then I put them into that situation. Now, it has to make sense, which it would if they're in an environment where they're used to working. I would say, where would you normally sit to work, or, but can we move your chair over, maybe a little bit over this way so I can get this for the background? So in essence, I'm picking the setting first and then moving the person back into that setting. But by that time, I've also tried to observe how they sit, how they stand, what expressions are typical for them, you know, what makes them laugh, what makes them smile, you know, that sort of thing. Because the minute you get the camera out, everybody does this. You know, they back up against the wall and they cross their hands and, you know, in some kind of defensive position, and they straighten up and they smile and they try to suck the tummy in. You know. So that's what you got to kind of get around. And part of it is just wearing people down. You know, a lot of the photographs in the books that we take a look at 4x5 view camera, well, that's a camera that you hold upside down and backwards, or the view camera's upside down and backwards. The image that's created is on a tripod. It's an old cumbersome camera with manual focus and separate lenses you have to cock and fire, and no built-in light meter, any of that sort of thing. You're loading film one sheet at a time. You know, so it's very kind of cumbersome, time-consuming kind of thing. So basically, they're just bored by the time I finally get around to taking the picture. They kind of relax and sit back and, you know, assume kind of a natural pose again. So sometimes I kind of elongate the process a little bit and make sure that that happens until they realize that, no, I'm just not going to take one picture and leave. You know, I'm going to stay till I get what I want, and so you might as well cooperate. You know? So that's kind of the gist of my approach, is try to use the person as, you know, the center of interest, obviously. But in most cases, they're not maybe up front and center in the photograph. They may be almost a graphic element within the composition. And the other thing is environmental elements in the composition. What else is in there? How does it relate to volume and shape and color, and, or in the case of black and white, you know, the tones and the relations of the tones? For instance, you have a fella here who is making broom handles. And what he told me was that all of his neighbors come by the house and bring all of these sticks that they find up in the woods, or the farmers and stuff, and just leave them by his mailbox. So every day he goes out, and there's a stack of these interesting, you know, knotted, kind of twisted sticks that people have found that think he might be interested. Well, he's got piles of these around.